Oh, I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day and night. Lord, we just praise you. Thank you, Lord, for the things that you're doing. We praise you, Father, for bringing us all into the bride. We thank you, Father, for helping us to walk this walk you've got us on. And Lord, I ask for a revival to start. A revival in us that will carry throughout the world. A revival of Jesus alive in your people. And I praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. We're looking forward to this anointing. We're looking forward to more of you in our being, Lord. Where there's nothing left but you. Thank you, Father, for helping us along in this great happening that's fixing to take place here. Lord, we come against the enemy that's trying to hinder every one of us. We bind up all of his works against us right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for sending your warrior angels out there and getting the information from them and confusing them and scattering them, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Father, we just ask and we pray for your protection around the president. I know it looks pretty bleak out there, Lord. But you said when it looks the bleakest, that's when you're going to take charge, Lord, and I believe it. I believe it. Thank you, Father, for putting Trump back in office again to finish up what you started him to do, Lord. And I know you're working in him, Lord, because he's seems like everywhere, every direction that he turns, there's always a block, a wall of people that try to hinder him from doing what is right for this country. And I know, Lord, that it's going to have to be you that does, yes. And I thank you, Father, that I know that you're going to get the glory after it's all over with. Because Trump will know it's you. It couldn't have been him because he couldn't do anything for all the nefarious people around him. Thank you, Father, for doing this for our country and your people. In Jesus' name. Father, I lift up Benita's boy, Nikki, and I thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in him. I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in him. And all the other prayers that we've prayed for the people out there, Lord, I thank you for answering those prayers, Father. Because I know when we pray, you hear, you listen, and the angels go forth. They hit the time clock, and here they go. And I thank you, Father, for all the prayers that have been answered in the past and in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Anoint us tonight, every one of us, Lord. Anoint us to speak the things that you'd have us to speak, Father. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Uh-oh, I got six people out there trying to get in. All right. Okay, any prayer requests? Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
Yes, sorry, conversation I've been having with a friend in California named Ali, and we have prayed for her before, but got a message from her, well, yesterday, that she's in hospital, and she's been having these dizzy spells and this nausea. And anyway, they're doing all sorts of tests, can't find what it is. Anyway, I basically said, I'm not standing for that. This is a woman of faith. So if I can pray and we can get some agreement here, because I don't, you know, they're basically saying at the moment, you know, you can't have a cane, you can have a walker. And I'm thinking, no. So, okay, Lord, I just want to, you know, Lord, I've brought Ellie up before, but I want to bring her up in this company of saints. because I'm not happy that this affliction seems to be there. And I really don't care whether the medical people find something they can pin it on or not. I really don't care. But I want to just stand on faith and tell whatever it is to go away. That it do nothing other than accomplishes your purposes, Lord, if there's any there. But other than that, I call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over her and over her physiology, and command anything that is not part of his purpose to get out. Lord, there were many that you touched and they got to their feet and walked. And that same portion belongs to her. So, Lord, it is a privilege to come before you on this glassy sea and just call this thing into being, this health and well-being into existence again. Lord, and just to the enemy, I'm going to cite 1 Peter 2:24 and remind it of the stripes that Jesus took. A reminder of the words of Psalm 103, if I've got it right, 105, that we are told to tell our souls to bless you and bless your name and forget not all these benefits, because you forgive all our sin and iniquity, you heal all our diseases, and you crown us with loving kindness, and you redeem us from destruction and crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies. And the words of Psalm 107, I think it's 20, that he sent his word to heal us and deliver us from all our destructions. So any enemy who wants to stand against the word of God, Father, just loose the angels of them, because that is the highest authority, and they just bow. Amen. That'll do.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Okay. Anyone else? How about a testimony or a praise report? You might have got one of them. Yeah, for you.
Yeah, we have a praise report. We had I don't know how to say it in English. A need. There you go. We had a need, and it required some cash that wasn't there. And it showed up. Let's just put it that way. And it was exactly what was needed. And the Lord provided, and it was pretty awesome how God just takes over, you know, and takes control.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your
praise. Promises. The Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. That's a good one. You didn't point to the mailbox and say, mailbox, you be there in the name of Jesus. That's what
that is. No, just down the road.
Okay.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Judy.
Praise report. You all prayed with me on Tuesday about and against the fire threat, the red flag warnings and the high winds and all that stuff. And yesterday, they were spraying to their heart's content. The sky just filled up with all kinds of clouds, blanketed everything. And even the temperature only dropped like 10 degrees last night, overnight. And the winds did not pick up all day yesterday, last night, or today. In fact, we got rain today. So I don't know. I don't know what that was all about. There was a fire that was up the north part of San Diego County, where there is a military base. And I don't know that all of this wasn't somehow planned to cause that fire. I don't know. But it was very peculiar, very suspicious. And I just praise and thank God that we didn't have any real threats of fire down here. And we got a little bit of rain today. So I was happy about that. That was an answer to prayer too, because I was praying that in. And thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord. And we got more rain coming, supposedly, by the grace of God. Y'all agree with me. Monday, we're going to get rain, real rain, real rain. Amen.
Soaker.
Yeah, well, I don't know about soaker, but I want some real rain, some measurable rain anyway. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah,
so thanks for your prayers. Appreciate it really much, a lot. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. I saw a headline earlier. I didn't read the article, but it was something to the fact that the factory that makes hydroxychloroquine burst into flames, mysteriously burst into flames.
Judy says two of them.
Two of them did.
Flames.
Oh.
Two flames.
There was one that had already burned down maybe like last week, and this one just recently.
Oh, wow.
Bill Gates.
Well, Father, we just ask you in the name of Jesus to bring to justice, find out who did this, because it's too coincidental to be a coincidence. I just said an oxymoron, but anyway, you know what I mean. And so, Father, and we just ask you to send forth your angels, and we prohibit this to happen again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace upon the people, especially your people, Lord, that haven't come into faith yet, that need this treatment, Lord, for the COVID. And it's good for other stuff too, but Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to bring your elect quickly into faith, Lord. Bring this revival. I agree with Michael, Lord. Please bring this revival. Pour out your spirit and bring this revival. And we ask you, Lord, that we know you have perfect timing, Lord. And all this will happen in your perfect timing, Lord. But Lord, there's nothing impossible with you. And we just ask you to quickly line everything up that needs to be lined up, Lord. And do what you got to do to bring about this revival, Lord. This great restoration, pouring out of your spirit and anointing of your man child. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. For exposing them too. In Jesus' name. I want y'all to look at something. We got to pray hard for this little thing. We got to pray hard. She looks so much like Missy. It's just, man, we just got to pray for her.
Oh, isn't that the cutest thing you ever seen? I'm not prejudiced at all.
Oh, that poor kid. Lord, we just lift up Rebecca to Blake. We lift her up to you, Lord, and we thank you for your mercy and your grace upon her, Lord. We thank Amen. You, Father, that you're going to bring her up being a blessed girl in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just praise you and thank you, Father, for answering my prayers, that none of these inoculations, these vaccines that she has gotten are just nothing. They're nothing but a placebo. There's nothing whatsoever harmful in them. And I just praise you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for protecting Blake and bringing Kurt and Brooke to the knowledge of the truth concerning this and bringing them into repentance and belief in you, Lord, and trusting you for everything, knowing, Lord, that you are their Savior, our Savior in all things. And I praise you and thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for having mercy on that baby. In Jesus' name. All right, has anybody else got a prayer request, a testimony, or a praise report? This is going to be kind of a being led by the Holy Spirit night, because I don't have anything, any agenda tonight other than Jesus. Yeah, Joe Britt, go ahead, Brodus, Magotus.
Sorry, it took a while. I got a couple of weeks now. I'm struggling with my elbow. It's not hurting that much, but I'm not on the curse, so I don't need this discomfort, please.
On your elbow?
Yep, my right elbow, yeah.
Okay, we command that pain to leave, discomfort to go. In the name of Jesus, you don't have a right to be there. We command you to leave Joe's elbow right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that he has full use and it's not going to bother him anymore. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Joe. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Rhea.
Yeah, I've got something similar. I'm also not under a curse. I'm not sick. I feel perfectly fine. But at nighttime, it's like my sinuses, I don't know what happened to them. And I just struggle to breathe and I keep clear awake at night. You can't sleep. And I wake up in the mornings with my jaws, you know, clenched and tired. And it's just very, very strange. We don't know what it is or if it's, you know, if it's a demon bugging me or something, but it needs to go.
It's got to go in Jesus' name. We lift up this infirmity. We command it to go from Rayon. We command it by the power and authority and the blood of Jesus. You go from Rayon in Jesus' name. And all the symptoms go with it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that tonight he's going to have a good night's sleep tonight. And as is Claire too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for both of them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank
and
you.
Amen. Rion, did you get my email?
No. When did you send it, Michael? Did you send it earlier?
I sent it this afternoon.
No, sorry. I haven't been with my phone. I'll have a look.
Oh, that's okay. I sent you a little video of the snow here.
Oh, good.
Yeah. We had about 4 inches of snow out there on the ground, man.
And you love the snow.
I don't care a thing in the world for it, but it does look nice out there. You know what I mean? Just nice and pristine and white.
Oh, that's good. You know, the weather is so up and down here. We might get snow today, later. You never know.
Amen. Go ahead, Judy.
Oh, I'd like to pray for all of our families and relatives, Lord. I just lift up all sisters, families, and relatives, especially the ones here on this conference call. I just pray, Father God, that you would be able to touch each and every one.
Uh-oh, we left you. Y'all left us. You froze up.
Them and help them that their eyes would be open to the truth of the trust.
Amen. Amen. Judy, y'all froze up. Amen. Amen to whatever Sue was praying in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Can't hear you. Did they leave? It looks like they left, I guess, to come off. Okay. Anybody else? Hey, Tim, how much snow you got over there?
Well, we're just talking about that. A little over an inch, maybe 2 inches, not a lot.
Yeah, well, I went out on the table on the back porch earlier, and it's about 3.5, 4 inches.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Matt just asked towards your direction, and he said that there was more out there than we got, but we got enough. It's pretty and white for a day or
it's
so.
It's going to be fun getting up the drive tomorrow if it stays cold. We're going to put cameras all up and down through there. We may have a YouTube million seller here. Amen. If you don't know, we have a real long, steep driveway that goes down the hill. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
Michael, can you do, you sent Rihanna a photo of snow. Can you do one better and send us some snow yet?
Absolutely, yes. Lord, yes, we thank you for sending all this snow you gave us to Joe. Every bit of it. And what's up in Pennsylvania? What's up in New York? What? And all the snow, Lord, send it over to Joe and Greg. Let them both experience this stuff. Thank you, Lord. They would just all get out there and have a snowball fight.
That's a thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I can remember having maybe two Christmases of snow years ago, 40, 50 years ago. But nothing's, this is the first time in a long time we've had a white December the 25th. Okay, anyone else? Uh-oh, here comes Judy. Yeah, Greg, go ahead.
Unmute, Greg. Unmute.
Well, it's just as well I was muted because I was going nowhere. Sorry, there are two things, by the way, Claire. There were two things I was going to, I guess, put out there or raise. But the first one, I'll deal with the first one first. It's just a colouring in of the picture, given the season of the year and the designated day of remembering Jesus' birthday. There's been a number of bits of information coming to me from various sources, and it's to do with the swaddling cloths. And I don't know if this is common knowledge. To me, this just was, an epiphany of this last few days. Is that the area where Bethlehem was seems to have been an area where people of the Levitical line, and not terribly high up in the pecking order, were raising sheep for the sacrifice, the temple sacrifice. And they would, because they had to raise lambs that were unblemished, they put a lot of care into their, particularly the birthing of them. And they used to wrap them, they had these caves that they did it in. And these mangers, which apparently were stone, not wooden, as we would often have in a nativity scene. But they would carry them out wrapped in swaddling cloths so that they, nothing would happen to them. I guess when they took them out to the field or whatever. And it was just interesting the way that Scripture has placed the birth of Jesus at a place, what I have heard and read from, as I say, it's come from a few different sources all at once, of how Jesus was placed, born in a place where sacrifice lambs were raised, and in Scripture even has him wrapped in the same sort of swaddling cloths. It was just interesting. It's just fascinating the depth of what God has and how he's done it and how he's arranged things in everything.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
What time of the year would that have been that they would have done that?
The best information that I have, it's not going to be December the 25th, there's no way, but, the best information I have would be probably September, ish their time. mean, Michael Heiser, actually, he picks it down. He doesn't say it's actually this date, but his best information is that date, you know, but who knows for sure. But, yeah, not in December.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, definitely not December, right?
No, I'm not.
It's in the fall. In the fall, mostly.
When the lambs are born, that's when they're out in the field looking, taking special care, right? I know.
Yeah.
Last September, yeah, the farmers, yeah, are all coming back to stories at work around that time where they've been up all night, because that's when the lambs tend to be born, right? It's in the middle of the night when it's stormy and it's most inconvenient, you know. Like, so it always tells us a story about how he's out in the field that time of year. Yep, that's interesting.
Anyway, it was as I say, it was just interesting. You count. I'm not in any way saying it was December the 25th, because that just doesn't match up. Though interestingly, some of the, and we can never know for sure. At the moment, but interestingly, it seems that when they were picking a date, it may have been the time of Jesus' conception. I don't know. Let's not go into that. I don't want to get too caught up with that. But the whole swaddling thing and the mirroring of the sacrifice lamb thing was just fascinating to me. But look, the other thing, and I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm not saying it's to me, it's a little bit heavy, but bits and pieces have come to me, and then I hear this. I'm going to say a voice in my head, which sounds like I'm nuts, but you know, this. How should we say it? A bit more. This leaning towards a direction in regards to abortion. And look, you know, as horrific as it is, I think, I'm starting to think, and this is where I think the Lord's directing me to pray, but I've got to ponder this a bit more, that the whole thing is so much bound up in darkness, in organized darkness. I got a report the other day from a very credible source, I think a credible source, well, it is a credible source, it was a doctor, I think in the US, but who cares where he is, who was involved with this. And anyway, there was a number of things he did, like, you know, he's now been discredited, though I would have no doubt that he's probably still operating doing the same things, but doing abortions on a 10-year-old who was, you know, abused by her uncle and keeping it covered up and all those dark things. And sorry to be heavy with this, but anyway, he was investigated, charged and convicted, and they found like 2,400 fetuses in his house just kept there, which is macabre sounding to me. And I'm thinking, hello, you know, based on that and about three other things that have come to me, that this, you know, and this all links up to vaccines and the fetuses in there, that they're using these things in very dark demonic things. Apparently in the worship of Pan, hence pandemic, you know, infants and stuff were killed and worshipped. And, I'm being vague. I'm sorry. I'm not sounding very clear. I know, and I'm not sure how to put this in. But I sense the Lord is having me pray against this darkness that is using these things to draw power from. I mean, you know, not abortions and the parts of fetuses and babies being killed while their hearts are still, you know, take their hearts taken out while they're still beating, and terrible things. Anyway, why am I raising this in here? I don't want to put it down on anyone and stuff like that. And most people I speak to in my circles would go, I don't want to know, that's horrible. And it is, I get that. But I guess I'm putting it out there, saying, is anyone else getting stuff like this? You know, it's just. And the silence is definitely, and that's okay. It doesn't need to be, but it's just, oh my goodness. It's just heavy stuff coming on me anyway.
Greg, I just want to understand, do you mean, do we know about this stuff? Like that we also know about the darkness? Cause I mean, there's been various sort of things that we've alluded to, that UBM podcasts have alluded to, about the tunnels and the children and sort of stuff. And this is just another arm of that evil, right? Like the structured medical abortion is just another arm of that very, very dark, evil stuff.
I have heard those things and listened to some of those things. I guess it's probably, this is where I put it down to, is that, you know, it's like I've asked the Lord, okay, what's going on in this world? Because, you know, you see this thing with the US election and then the whole coronavirus thing and various other bits and pieces. And I said, God, what's going on? And he's going, well, you asked, you know. there's an awful pervading darkness that not many people in Christian circles even want to even go near and pray about. But anyway, I'm just commenting at this stage because the Lord is still, you know, forming this up. And sometimes I go into closet or wherever I go to pray, and I think, what do I pray, Lord? What do I pray? And, you know, often the Holy Spirit takes over and says, I've got this.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Ria.
Greg, we were just, we were actually talking about that last night, Claire and I, and I said, oh, all these things that Joel 2 talks about. And this morning when I flipped open the Bible, it landed on Joel 2. And I read on, and it's pertinent to what you're saying. And in chapter 3, it says, and if you look at, and where this comes from is if you look at history, when God really gets completely fed up, right, is when they start sacrificing children. That's kind of my interpretation of it. You know, when they started sacrificing children to Molech, and that's when he really, that's when you know that the judgment's really close by. And we were talking about it last night about it's hard to, I don't say. We need to always trust the word only. And we talk about clones and JFK Jr. might be alive and all these things that are just very, very, it sounds very far-fetched. And I kind of looked at Claire and I said, you know what, all those things really doesn't matter if the tunnels and the children sacrificing and these things that you're talking about, if that is true, that then we know definitely that you know the times are very near. And then I read this Joel chapter 3, and I read from verse 1. It says, for behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring back the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will execute judgment upon them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have parted my land, and have cast lots for my people. And this is what just jumped out at me. And it says, and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. And that's kind of explaining Joel 2 to me. It's saying, this is why all of that stuff is going to happen. This is why there's a day of the Lord that's coming after these 7 years, is because those things are true. It's happening. It's dark. Yes. But God's bringing judgment on that. All we can do is we need to pray for these children. The aborted children, they go straight to Jesus, right? There's no pain there, nothing. They go straight there. The other ones that are, I don't know if they're still in the tunnels or wherever they are, that's still suffering, those are ones we need to pray for, that God either saves them, heals them 100%, completely wipes out those memories, or takes them to him straight away, because he's going to execute this judgment. That's exactly what he's talking about there.
Amen.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, I'm thinking of Ezekiel, I think it's 16, where it, you know, talks about those who take the lives of those who shouldn't die, and those who, you know, should die continue to live. And so I'm realizing how connected is this. But for me, it even came to the point, and I have there's two children I consider to be stepsons of mine, and they were children. I believe they're both sons. I don't know who were aborted. One was has to do with my former spouse. I didn't know about it for 8 years of the marriage, and another one of a person the Lord has put quite strongly on me. I won't go into details of that. And anyway, I was praying. You know, I've kind of said to the Lord, look, I'll step in the gap and be their fathers, which is why I call myself, you know, the stepfather, like someone who steps in for these children. I think, well, they're with you, so what's, you know, what's the point? But the other day I was thinking about it, and the Lord had me pray for the redemption of their, their body parts not being used for darkness, if that makes sense. Anyway, as I say, it's heavy stuff, I know, and I wouldn't raise it anywhere else but in here, but I'll take the comments out. I don't want to set the tone or the mood in here and stuff like that. But thank you for that, particularly Rianne. And you know, as I was listening to you and realizing things, you know, this heaviness is coming upon me. It's a good heaviness, because the Lord is saying, "I want you to pray." And I'm thinking, "Who, me?" You know. Anyway, enough of that.
Yeah. Well, Lord, we just thank you for saving those, taking those home that would be messed up down here, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just ask that in the name of Jesus. And that those that can be redeemed, Lord, we ask and we pray that you get them out of those tunnels, get them away from the Chinese Communist Party that are selling their body parts. Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, for all of the deep state, evil, satanic pedophilia and satanic rituals, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your exposing them and opening up those places up and letting those children go, Lord. Thank you, Father, and young adults too, all of them, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. I don't know if y'all know this, but Trump has a special task force doing exactly that, going into these tunnels and freeing up these children. They've been down in Australia. They've been all over the world doing this thing. And it's multiple countries that are involved in that. And they are setting them free, what ones that they can get free, you know. Yeah, Julie.
I wanted to pray something. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for how you move in us and how you pray through us. And I ask your blessing and your anointing and wisdom and discernment on our brother Greg, on what you put on his heart to pray. I pray that you give him the scriptures to pray, and to give him your leading and your guidance in all these things, Lord. And if so be, Lord, raise up others to pray as he is, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing and praying through us, Lord. And we pray in the Holy Spirit for such things, because we don't really know how we ought to pray. So I just pray your blessing and anointing on his prayer time for these things you've laid on his heart. And I also lift up our brother Andrew, who's not here this evening. I believe he has family. So, Lord, I pray for Andrew and his family and the time that he has in fellowship with them, Lord, that he be just a blessing there, Lord, and he is not, I just pray your peace upon him, Lord, that he doesn't have to push anything, feel like he has to do anything, that he just be weak to the weak and his family, that he be a real light there. They see the love of Christ in him, and that's been, you know, just be a true witness in how you will speak through him, or just to be his hands and his heart, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for the good report we're going to hear later. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, go ahead. Who is that? I can't see your head. All I can see is a hand. Okay. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, Michael. I just wanted some prayer to get my taste back.
Get your what back?
Taste.
Oh, your taste back?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yeah. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command that taste bud to start functioning like it's supposed to, in Jesus' name. And any kind of spirit of infirmity is trying to come on him, we command you off of Matthew right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Matthew is healed, delivered, and he can now taste taste Anna's good cooking in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And she does cook good. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. You ought to weigh 500 pounds by now, but you don't. I don't understand that. Amen. All right, Matthew, that's done, brother. How's it going?
It's going. Had a couple days off now, so it's nice.
Yeah, amen. Y'all going out in space, though? Is that what you're doing?
No, we went out earlier and looked at all the pretty lights for Obi.
Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Are the roads okay?
Yeah, they're mostly okay. There's a couple spots where we slid a little bit, but it's all right.
Okay. All right. Good deal. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
I'd like to share a praise report.
All right. Go ahead, Lana.
I've had a couple instances now where the Lord has been really showing his grace to me by teaching me a few lessons. And one of those lessons is to leave things in his hands. I tend to be very anxious, and I thought it was just proactiveness in me where I see things right before they happen. And it's usually the bad report, of course. And so I start to panic or freak out to try to take care of the matter before it gets worse. And like the other day, we had an issue with the bank, and I was insisting that my husband call the bank and follow up and make sure that it was resolved, because they said they would do it, but they gave a certain timeline, and I was like, we need to do it today. He's like, nope, it's going to get taken care of. It'll be tomorrow. And just this small voice from the Lord says, give it up. And I said, okay, Lord, there's nothing I can do. It's time I follow through. And so I gave it up, and I forgot about it. And lo and behold, praise the Lord, the entire issue with the bank was taken care of. We also had a need come up today. And in my mind, I'm like, it's connected to what Theo was saying earlier about the cash. I was like, Lord, we need cash. We don't have any. And I know that you have put us in this weak position because we had cash and now we don't have any. There's nothing I can do. And I know it's from you. So I'm going to start praising you. And I did it. Lo and behold, we have cash. The Lord's just been so good. And this has been ongoing. And the Lord's just quietly teaching me, Lana, give it up. Do you trust me? And I'm just blown away because he has come through in these instances that to other people, they might seem small. But in my head, they are Mount Everest. And this has been my entire life. And it is no more. And I am so grateful that the Lord is conquering one demon at a time, so to speak. So all praise be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for patience in all of us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's a good one. Okay, it was sent. Okay, that's good. All right, anybody else? Here comes Andrew. Andrew Solzhenitsyn. Or however how you say his last name. Hey, Andrew. The Canadian Don. What's up, buddy?
Well, they all just left. Had them all over for Christmas. And it was pretty good. It was what I thought it would be. Nothing eventful. And,
Amen. Santa Claus come?
Yeah, they got me a nice little throw rug. I made the mistake of going to an IKEA with my daughter, and I said, oh, that's a nice rug. So they bought me one. The children all pitched in and got me this rug here, this throw rug. And they threw the old one out for me because it was over 25 years old.
It's time for it to go, wasn't it?
Yeah. It smells a lot fresher in here anyway.
I expect so.
I was going to take that out on the snow when it got deep enough and beat it with a baseball bat just to clean it off.
Oh, my.
That's what they do out here anyway. Gets the rug really clean when you do that. You just turn it upside down, you beat it, and then you turn it the other way and beat it. Snow's all dirty, but the rug's clean. But you got to wait for a fresh snowfall for that.
Amen. Yeah, you didn't hear me earlier, but we got about 4 inches of snow out there right now.
It's raining up here, and I was out in a short sleeve shirt. I thought it was warm. It's up here. Yeah. Anyway. Better late than never, anyway.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Okay, anybody got something that they'd like to talk about? Like, what's the origins of Christmas? Or something like that, you know? Does anybody know the origins of Christmas, as a matter of fact? You know where it came from?
Well, I know that it came from the Catholic Church. And
actually it came from the Egyptians.
Oh, well.
Started out there. Mm-hmm.
I know that back in American history, Abraham Lincoln didn't like, he actually opposed it. He opposed the Christmas traditions of the Catholic Church. Yeah. I think that's in your history.
Well, the Catholic Church embraced it when they came into existence in Constantine. Mm-hmm. And they brought it so that they could bring everybody together. It's actually a heathen holiday. I read about it this afternoon a little bit just to see what it was. Yeah, Missy.
December 25th is Tammuz birthday. T-A-M-M-U-Z. That I believe that's where it talks about they cried over Tammuz in Ezekiel 8, I believe it is. I thought that's what it was, and I looked it up. That's when Tammuz birthday is.
Yeah. Well, that's isn't that where the tree came out of? Somebody had a fir tree sprout out of a rotten piece of wood on December the 25th. And they use that for a Christmas tree.
I know that in, I believe it's Jeremiah 10, starting around in verse 3 or something like that, it talks about the Asherah and what they do. They decorate it and everything.
Yeah.
They worship the tree, you know. Mm-hmm. How crazy is that?
Well, how many years did you do it before you found out?
I know, but it's like, geez.
I know.
I mean, I never, it's like they literally thought it was a god, okay? But me ignorantly didn't know that they believed it was a god, and that's where it came out of. I never believed it was a god, but you know what I'm saying? But geez.
Yeah. It's just an action. And in reality, the Christmas day of December the 25th, Jesus. And it really doesn't really say what day or what month it was, but some believe that it was in September, October, somewhere along in there, because of the shepherds out in the field. They were still out in the fields. But anyway. And Santa Claus, of course, was a pagan deity. I forget which one it was. Yeah. If, you know, I knew this for years. Look at the word Santa. You know, just move two letters and you got something else. Satan. Yeah, Claire.
I've got some really interesting stories about this day. We've been chased out of quite a few family affairs and community affairs because we refused to bow to the tree. And a few years back, there was a couple that were very zealous, but were a little bit misplaced in their direction. Probably the worst sort of case of the harlot church that we've seen. And they invited us for something on the 25th. And we knew that up until that point that they hadn't celebrated it really. And they knew we hadn't celebrated. So I thought this will be like a non-celebratory lunch kind of thing, you know, quite ignorant. And as we literally just opened the garden gate, a man came out and said to my child, who was 5 at the time, "Did you celebrate Jesus' birthday today?" And I looked at this and I thought, "What are you doing?" And she said, "No, because he wasn't born today, but we celebrate his death and resurrection, like the Bible says." And he said, "Oh, but don't you know he was born today?" And that was how the whole lunch went, to the point where we had to leave. We couldn't handle it anymore. It was kind of like, what is happening? What has changed? And they had been overcome by a false teacher in the apostate church. They'd started listening to some teachings of someone, and they sent us these teachings. And we were like, 6 months ago, we had differences in doctrine, but we were together on this one thing. But now you're even going out of what you thought into celebrating on this day. And it was just so shocking. And since then, we really solidified our argument.
By not arguing at all
and just, you know, let them say what they want to say. But in our minds, we needed scriptures to quote to ourselves and to teach our children and all of that. And the Lord hasn't let us down with giving us that knowledge, because every year somebody from apostasy comes into our environment and tries to muddy the waters. And it's so wonderful to just have these scriptures that one can use or just ask questions, you know. Like, I find a nice question to ask is, what does Jesus say? You know, what did he command us to do? And another nice question to ask is, but when are lambs really born? Like, what, you know, when are lambs born generally? What? And I find that those two questions never get answered by a person with that spirit. They just don't know how to answer it. And it's been a wonderful day so far. We haven't seen or heard anyone except our children.
Yay.
You're muted, Mike.
Well, it's hard to hear what I'm muted, isn't it? I wanted to read you what David just recently sent somebody about Christmas. They asked, what should we know about Christmas? And these are new Christians. "Christmas is a mixture of traditions of religion. Emperor Constantine joined all the religions into one so there would be peace. That was the Catholic religion, which is a mixture of many false religions. Protestants used to never celebrate Christmas. It is unbiblical. It is a tool of the merchants now. A man cannot receive anything except it come from heaven, not Santa Claus. The Bible says give to the poor, not the rich. Jesus was not born in December. The shepherds were still in the field, so it was more like September. All the symbolism at Christmas comes from paganism. However, we must be wise to major on the major things, like living the life of a Christian. If we cause some to stumble over insignificant things like Christmas, we will not get to the important things. We cannot clean fish until we catch them. Major on the majors and show people to hold to the word, and God will take care of the fairy tales. The command in Revelation 22, 18 and 19 will take care of Christmas. Amen. The birth of Jesus was not celebrated. His death was. It is here that we receive his sacrifice and his life. How do we treat the brethren who celebrate Christmas, which is not in the Bible? If one does not believe in celebrating Christmas, should they spend the day with others who do? Should they join them in order to spend time with them and share the gospel with them? We can't judge the lost. They don't know any better, and they have no power to obey. And he quotes 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. I wrote unto you in my epistle to have no company with fornicators, and in 10, not at all meeting with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous and extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Verse 11. But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company if any man that is named a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do with judging them that are without? Do not you judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Put away the wicked man from among yourselves. And then he says, nor should we judge those brethren who are ignorant. Romans 14 and 1. Where'd it go? But him that is weak in faith, receive ye, yet not for decision of scruples. One man hath faith to eat all things, but he that is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth set at naught him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest the servants of another? To his own Lord he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be made to stand, for the Lord hath power to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let each man be fully assured in his own mind. God holds us accountable to our conscience. And then he goes on and quotes a bunch of more. And then he says, if we think something is sin, then it is a sin to us. James 4 and 17. To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Anyway, it goes on. Talks about a little bit about doctrine. And it says, God says to be weak to the weak without being weak ourselves in order to gain them. Then it goes down. He quotes 1 Corinthians 9 and 19 through 23. And then he says, Paul was an undercover agent for the Lord. He shaved his head and took a vow, which he didn't believe in order to be accepted among the Jews so that he could preach the gospel to them. He circumcised Timothy, which he taught against for justification in Galatians chapter 5, so that he would be accepted among the Jews. The foundations are more important than Christmas. They need our love and the gospel. And if we offend them with relatively insignificant things, we'll slam the door in our own faces and never get to the important things. You can't clean fish until we catch them. My family, talking about David's family, has not taken part in Christmas for almost all of our Christian life, but we know of others who needs us who do. Christmas celebrators need the truth from those who know. How will they hear if we avoid them? However, we must major on majors and not minors. The finer points can follow after they begin to respect the scriptures. Well, amen. That's good wisdom. That's good wisdom. They still celebrate it in my house, and I'm just weak to them at that point. I've told them, it's not biblical. But like David says, we major on the majors and forget about the minors for the time being. They'll want to give up Christmas here shortly. I wanted to give it up 50 years ago. It cost too much. It was terrible. I'm telling you. I told her just a funny story. When my twins were little, my twin grandboys, when they were little, when they were, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old, they jumped up in my knee and they was going to tell me what they wanted Santa Claus to get them. So I went ahead and bought some of those things, you know, and then come the day, Christmas morning, they came in there and they said, oh, Santa Claus brought me this. And I sat them down right there and I said, let me tell you something about this Santa Claus. I'm your Santa Claus. I worked hard. I made the money to buy those toys for y'all. And it wasn't some little short, fat guy brought this in a stupid red suit. They remembered that. And they remembered that. And they always liked me. They always believed me at whatever I said after that. I wasn't going to tell them a lie about this stupid red suited guy with a stupid, you know, bringing toys and stuff that I worked hard to get them. Praise God forevermore for Jesus. Missy, go ahead.
I was already unmuted. I thought maybe. Or did you unmute me? No, you didn't unmute me. You can't do that. Anyway, I have my own little story about telling my boys. I'm trying to think. My boys are like 6 and 8 years old, something to that effect. And the what came out in the theaters was the new version of Miracle on 34th Street, if anybody knows that movie. And here's a story about Santa Claus. And I forget exactly how it goes, but something happened with Santa Claus. And they said he was crazy and they arrested him and they were trying to get him out of jail. And the whole city in support of Santa Claus, all over the city, it said, we believe there are signs up everywhere. And I don't remember how long exactly I had been a Christian, but I was pretty much a baby Christian yet. But when I saw that, that just so convicted me. Hold on a second. Anyway, that so convicted me. And what was going through my mind was the Lord was saying, they're not saying that they believe in me. They should be saying, we believe in Jesus, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh. And so I knew I had to tell my boys and I went and told them without their father's permission. And he was so livid with me. He was so mad. And I said to him, I said, you know, I want them to believe in God. I want them to believe in Jesus. And a God that they can't see. And now, Santa Claus isn't real. And I want them to believe me, you know, that he's not real. He's just make-believe. It's a bunch of people dressing up like in a man suit, you know. He's not a real person. And they can see him. And I want them to believe in God whom they can't see. And I don't want them to think that I'm lying to them about God because I lied to them about Santa Claus, you know? So, but yeah, that's my story about the whole Santa Claus thing with my boys. And that's something that's just, it's forever embedded in my mind, that whole story, it's like, wow.
Yeah, there's all kinds of myths. And what about the Easter Bunny? You know, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. Even when I was a kid, I thought that was nuts. Stupid Easter Bunny giving out chicken eggs. Come on, man. Anyway, thank you, Lord, for straightening all those out. In Jesus' name. But Lord, let us all be weak to the weak. Amen. All right, what else y'all want to talk about other than Santa Claus?
I wanted to share something.
Okay.
I wanted to mention that when I was growing up, Christmas trees were actually a bad thing. We always, whenever we saw anybody have a Christmas tree, our parents were like, oh no, that's bad. That's an idol. You know, you don't do that as a Christian. And so we grew up without a Christmas tree. It was very frowned upon. Because from what I understand it, and I could be a little off on this, but back in Russia or the countries associated with the old USSR, Christmas trees were part of the New Year celebration. The New Year celebration is a huge deal out there. And so their version of Santa Claus and Christmas trees and gifts is with the New Year's, not with Christmas. And now we're looking at a generation that, since they were, at least that's how my siblings act, they were deprived of Christmas decorations and Christmas trees as kids. They now insist on putting them up in their own homes, and they don't want to hear anything against the tree or Christmas decorations. Gifts were a hit or miss. Some years we'd do it, some years we'd be like, oh, let's not do it, we don't really need anything, you know, let's not spend the money. The biggest part was the church service. That was very religious, very routine, and a huge deal. You go to church on Christmas Day and you participate. You have something to contribute, whether it's song performance, poems, kids performances. It's a huge deal, which I also think is part of very deep Russian culture, poems, songs, whether they be performed in school. Back in those days, in communist Russia, has now carried itself as a tradition into church. That's how you share. That's how you take part in the service. So for us, it's been a little bit backwards. We became westernized after our families came to this country, and now our generation's picked up on all the pagan traditions, but still ignorant of the fact that we're putting too much emphasis on a particular day and traditions of man instead of focusing on following the Lord's commandments and living every day in rest, as the Bible calls us to do.
You know, when I think of Russia, I always think of Boris Sokolovsky. I can't even pronounce this man's name. Sokolovsky. He said when they came from Russia over here, after throwing all of those trials that they went through, he said the thing that they noticed was that the Russian people that came over from over there started westernizing, and they would the women that wore the hats and the bonnets and the long dresses and stuff, they started getting smaller and smaller and smaller on their head, and till they're just almost non-existent. And he said that was just because they wanted to fit in rather than do what God wanted them to do. And of course, he spent the rest of his life preaching holiness here in the States and up in Canada as well. You know who I'm talking about, Lana?
Yeah. I actually read his story a couple months ago when you had first mentioned it. You don't have to go very back very far. I know, like with the American culture, they talk about how hundreds of years ago or so many generations ago, the churches were different. I've lived in the States for most of my life. I moved here when I was two, so almost 30 years. And the transformation that's taken place from when we first arrived to what people look and act and do in churches now is incredible. For example, every fall, the churches celebrate what's called harvest celebration. And it's, from what I understand, back in the USSR, this harvest celebration was only done by registered churches. Now it's been implemented in every single church. It is celebrated in the fall. We put up a huge, or they put up a huge display of fruits and vegetables. And it started out as like just an innocent fruits and vegetable display. Now they've gone ornate, huge, expensive. And they've gone from just being thankful and just having a nice program to praying for the food and making displays of bread and water and Bibles. And it's just become another similar Christmas. Yeah. Well, more of a very ritual, very religious kind of thing. And it started out innocently enough, and now it's a big deal. And it's been westernized once again. The churches grow bigger, the celebrations grow bigger, they're more expensive. And then the interesting thing is what we do here in the States, just like in any other country, the people back there, they copy. So we bring it from there, we westernize it, and then the people in the old country, they take our Western versions and do it in their own churches back there, because everybody looks up to America, right? Everybody wants to be American. And because they're relatives, because of the relatives and how well they look here in the States, it's almost ridiculous. The demons are the same. The spirits are the same. The delusion is the same, regardless of where you go. So now you've got people putting up Christmas trees in Ukraine that have never done it in the past, because their relatives, their Christian relatives, are doing it in the States.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I never will forget the testimony of the Chinese prisoner. I forget his name, but he wrote a book and it sold millions of them. But he was tortured in prison. And when he finally got out after years of that, he came to America. He thought, this is, oh my goodness, I'm going to America. In God we trust. That's the greatest Christian nation in the world. You know, they're following Christ, everybody there. And when he got on the plane to come to America, he was so devastated at the lack of holiness on the Americans that he saw on that plane coming to America. It just destroyed his mindset of what all the Americans were. They were good, clean Christian people, you know, when in fact most of them are just evil people. He thought that was just, he couldn't get over it. All religions start out right, I guess. Methodism, y'all know the story of Methodism, Wesley brothers, and how that they preached holiness. They preached holiness the whole way. Well, they don't even know the word holy in the Methodist church anymore. And I don't, you know, I just one right after another. The Assemblies of God, it was it started out being pretty good, but they Americanized that church, and the Church of God, and on and on and on. All of them have fell into the world. Praise God, he's got a remnant that wants to stay with the scriptures, right? Praise the Lord. A holiness, walk that sanctification by faith walk. Amen. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share? If I sang a song, I'd run everybody off, so I ain't going to sing. Go ahead, Lana. Your hand up. I don't know how to put that one down. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, no, that was from earlier.
Okay. What do we need to pray about? Anybody got something they'd like to pray about? Yeah, Marilyn.
Okay. I got a text from my brother today, and he told me that he had COVID. And I, you know, texted him back a prayer, and he said that actually his fever, you know, has already broken and that he's getting his appetite back. So he seems to be doing okay. But he told me that his daughter-in-law's father has COVID, and he's been on a ventilator for 2 weeks. And, you know, I don't know this guy. I don't even know his name. I don't know anything about him. But I told my brother that I would pray for him. And I just feel led to do that. I've seen when we've prayed before. I know of a couple of occasions where I've prayed for people. One was taken to heaven, got to see Jesus and came back. The other one was taken to the gates of hell, and the demons were trying to drag him in there, and it really shook him up. So, you know, people that have been very, very sick. But Father's merciful. So I want to pray for, I know his daughter's name is Brittany. So Father, you know all about Brittany's dad. I know she loves her dad. And Father, this is just a hard time for the family. And Father, you, it's such a comfort. You know, we take great comfort and we trust that you see everything, you know everything. You know, our hearts, as it says in the word, are deceitfully wicked, and yet you know every inch of our hearts, and you're merciful to us and you're gracious. And Father, your word says, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. So Father, and also your word, you know, if we're going to err, we want to err on the side of compassion and mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment. So Lord, I lift this man up to you. Sounds kind of like his life is hanging there in the balance. I command this spirit of death off of him. Father, I pray an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon him to draw him to you. Father, if he is yours, if he is one of the elect, Father, you, this is not too hard for you to deal with. I pray, Lord, that if he's yours, that you not allow him to die unsaved. And Father, I'm even bold to ask that you raise him up and you heal him. And let it be a testimony to everybody around him, including my brother, that it would be a bold and a great testimony, and he's going to come and have a great testimony. And praise the Lord. So, Father, I just thank you and praise you that nothing's too hard for you. You say we have not because we ask not. I thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit moving on my heart to have the boldness to pray for this guy. Because the lives of the saints are very precious in your sight, Father. And Father, if I was in such a state, I would want somebody with faith to pray for me. And we all would. So, Father, we just put our faith together and ask you to not let this guy die unsaved. Whether you raise him up or you take him home, I pray that his heart's right with you. And I pray that you're glorified, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Lord took them to hell, and one took one to hell, and one to heaven, huh? Praise Lord, that'll do it. Thank you, Jesus. By the way, the name of that book by Boris Sorokovsky is A Call to the American Churches, I believe is what it's called. And you can get it online free. A Call to the Churches in America, that's what it is. Okay. Yeah, Joe.
Michael, just for interest, it's been quite a while since we see Leon. How is doing?
Seen who?
Leon.
Oh, Leon's fine. He's fine. I don't know where he is tonight. He's okay. Matter of fact, I had dinner with him yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, we see him in the morning meetings. I don't know. He may be busy working something. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead, Judy. It's hard for me to see that little yellow hand. So I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'd like to pray. I feel drawn, to pray for. Actually, I've prayed for this family. With my sister, but I was thinking of Tiffany Dover, the nurse that had fainted, that got that shot, the COVID shot. And it just seems like to me that there's too much evidence that points to her being that she passed away. And so I'd like to pray for her family, because I think they're probably trying to keep them from saying anything or doing anything. Her Facebook was off for a whole, they took it completely off, I think for a day or two, and then they put it back on, but there's nothing on there. And that's been her way of contacting people. So Lord, I just lift up Tiffany Dover, the nurse, the RN that, had that COVID shot, that Pat fainted. Lord, I just pray that if she's with you, which I kind of think she is, but if she's with you, Lord, I just pray that you be there for her family, all her relatives. I know it's got to be a hard time for them right now with whatever she's had to go through. I believe, Father God, that I have a sense, Lord, that, like I said, I have a sense that she's gone. I believe that she's with you. I believe she took the shot as a means to encourage people, not knowing the real truth about it. And so I just pray that you will be a comfort to the family, give them your peace, your rest, your hope, and strengthen them. And Lord, I come against any of the deep state or any of the people, the evil people that have done this COVID shot thing and would want to keep her family silent and just keep them out of the picture, whatever they're trying to do against them. I pray that you be there for them and put that hedge of protection around them and their family, their children. Lord, just take care of this whole matter and put the enemy to flight, expose the enemy, and just strengthen them and give them the comfort that they need at this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for exposing them right there on TV.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, let there be all kinds of questions asked.
Yep.
Okay. What's a good topic of discussion tonight? Short topic of discussion. We can go back to Adam and Eve's belly button. Did they or did they not? Go ahead, Missy. She's got to answer. Go ahead, Missy.
I didn't catch what you said, but I have a little something to share. The Lord showed me this the other week. I was talking to Julie on the phone, and I was sharing something that the Lord gave me. And when I was reading it, I was like, "Oh!" It was like the Lord instantly showed me something that I didn't see before that as I was talking to her about it. And I was really encouraged by it. If y'all recall, the number 45 means preservation. And President Trump is the 45th president. Isaiah 45 is the first chapter that really starts talking about Cyrus. And we know President Trump is Cyrus. And so the number 45 means preservation. If you go to Genesis 45, it starts out, this is before that in chapter 44 is when Joseph's brothers come to him and say, "We got to take our brother Benjamin back with us. Our father will die and go to Sheol," you know, and this whole rigmarole. And finally, beginning of 45, he couldn't withhold from him who he was anymore. And so let me read this to you, because I was like, when I was talking to Julie about this, I saw the number 45. And it hit me, this one area that I underlined, the word preservation. And it was talking about that in verses 5 through like 8. But I didn't remember that it used the word preservation. So it's really encouraging. And then there's another verse later on in the chapter that really spoke to me too. It was just all really encouraging. So anyway, verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all those who stood before him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians heard, and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and there are still 5 years, in which there shall be another plowing, in which there shall be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a remnant in the earth, and to save you alive by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt." Wow. He was given God credit for the whole thing. You know, it just goes to, you know, what we've learned, you know, giving the Lord thanks for everything. And he was telling them, you know, don't blame yourself. It was God, you know. And I was just like, wow, that's another 45, you know, chapter 45, you know, talking about the man tribe preserving. And it really encouraged me, because what the Lord really spoke to me was about, what he spoke to me is Joseph The Lord sent him ahead. And in the respect of the man child and everything, but it was like the Lord was speaking to me, Missy, I'm sending you ahead for your family to be preserved, you know. And then in verse 20, actually verse 16, I'll start in verse 16, to get the context of it. And the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brethren, do this, load your beasts and go get to the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come to me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, do this, take wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your fathers and come. Also, do not regard your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And that was just so encouraging to me too, because he was saying, it says, where it says, Peter says, Lord, we have left all. We have left houses, blah, 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 blah. You know, all these things. It's in Matthew 19, you know, and the Lord's, you know, and it was just like the Lord saying, you don't need anything, you know, just go. I believe the Lord's going to relocate a lot of us, and we may not have anything, but he's going to provide, you know. That's just, you know, he says, don't worry. You know, it's like, you know, where it talks about destruction to Jerusalem, I believe, or something to that effect. And he says, don't go back and get your coat. Don't go back and get this. Don't go back and get that. Flee, you know? And it was just... here's an earlier reiteration in the Bible of that kind of thing, you know, and it just really encouraged me. The Lord's going to provide, you know. He's sending the man child ahead of us, and many of us are, the Lord's going to send us ahead of our families, you know. And like Joseph was sent ahead of his family, for his family. And we're going to be able to encourage them and say, you know, don't be afraid to go somewhere else where the Lord wants you. And don't be afraid about taking this or taking that. The Lord's going to provide. So anyway, that's just something I wanted to share. And I thought it was pretty cool that the whole 45 number again in preservation. So, amen. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you, Lord, for your sires. Bless President Trump, Lord. Bring him someday to repentance and belief in you. And I thank you, Lord, for your sovereignly using him, guiding him and directing him, and one day giving him a real revelation of all that you've done, that he was born for such a time as this, that he had the understanding, Lord, that he was born in all his life. You raised him up, sovereignly arranged everything in his life to bring him to this point in time to be used by you for your kingdom and for your purpose. And that he would truly know, Lord, that you are the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God, who shed his blood to wash away his sins. I just praise you and I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Missy. That was good.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Anybody else? Yes, Julie.
Can I share the word I got today?
Absolutely. I got it here in front of me. You go right ahead, girl.
You got the word I got today in front of you?
Oh, well, I don't know about the word you got today, but we'll see.
Okay. I got Isaiah 26 and verses 11 through 15. I came down on 13 at the end there, where we make mention of thy name. So in verse 11, it says, "The Lord, thy hand is lifted up, yet they see not. But they shall see thy zeal for the people and be put to shame. Yea, fire shall devour thine adversaries. The Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast also wrought all our works for us. O Lord, our God, other lords besides thee have dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all remembrance of them to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast enlarged all the borders of the land." I kind of just was taking that as what is going on right now with what the Patriots are doing and bringing an end to all this, and the Lord is going to be exalted. He's going to restore peace unto us, and his hand's lifted up. He's using Trump. I mean, he's using Trump, his hand, and they don't see it, and they're going to see the zeal he has for his people, and the Lord will ordain peace for us, and he's going to do his works for us. But I look at 13 as other lords besides thee have dominion over us, that by thee only will we make mention of thy name. It's like everyone wants to, there's many, whatever, the people who have ruled and dominated and have, you know, been doing what they've been doing with, you know, the suppressing and putting us in bondage and all that, but we still glorify the Lord. And we only make mention of his name. We give him all the glory for what's being done. And it says, "Where they are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore they have visited and thou hast visited and destroyed them and made all remembrance of them to perish." And I just like the Egyptians, you know, we're not going to see them again at the Red Sea. You know, when the Red Sea comes, it's like we're not going to see them anymore. And all of these criminals are going to be locked up and justice shall be served. You know, God's righteous and justice, his throne is established in that. And we've been praying and fasting and doing all these things, and God's going to honor all that. I just kind of looked at it. It was a good word.
Amen. You know, if you looked at the news, if you follow the news, even the alternate news, you'd think that Trump is lost, there's no way for him out, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But God showed us 5 or 6 years ago, it might have been 6 years, that Trump was going to be in there for 2 terms. And if God says he's going to be in there for 2 terms, I don't care what it looks like. This man is going to be in there for the next 4 years because God said. And that's what we need to keep our mind on, is that right there, is that God said. You know, you see that they're saying that all of his people around him are deep state and they're fighting him on every corner and all this kind of stuff. It don't make no damn mind. Don't make a bit of difference in the world. Because God said, and when God said, you listen. Go ahead, Julie.
I was just going to say, there's so many things unknown and unseen that are happening because it's not necessary that we know. And that's kind of what faith is, you know. We don't know everything, but it's like, okay, Lord, we trust you. You've given us all these parallels over the years about the whole, what you're going to do, and the whole Cyrus, Trump, David Manchild, bride parallels and what's been happening. And it's like, here we are. We're coming to, okay, everything's kind of gone quiet now. We're just waiting for things to roll out and for things to go to pass what God has planned. I mean, I believe, you know, that God put it in their minds, these plans on how to do his work. It's his work. He's using these vessels of honor and dishonor to accomplish his works.
I tell you something, watch what God does. He's going to get the glory.
Amen.
You watch it. God's going to get the glory out of this.
I did see something, too, that the Pope's supposed to step down after Christmas.
Yep, I heard that, too.
I read it. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
He hadn't already stepped down.
Yeah. I heard after Christmas, so.
Yeah. Go ahead, Missy.
Julie, I wanted to say, like, a week or two ago, I got somewhere in Isaiah 26, in chapter 26. And I went through and I read that whole chapter. And that whole chapter, I encourage everybody to read it because it's so encouraging. It is so encouraging. That just so encouraged me. And one thing I forgot to mention earlier when I was talking about 45, Psalm 45 also talks about the man child and the bride. So that number 45 is so symbolic. It's heavily used in showing the man child and the Lord's preservation through the man child. It's amazing. So, but yeah, read chapter 26. It's awesome. Awesome.
Yes, Lord. You know what? My old buddy from Georgia moved up to Maine. I would like to hear some words of wisdom from you, if you so desire to share with us. George? My old friend George. Maybe he's in the other room opening presents. I don't know.
You put him on the spot, Michael.
I know. I did that. I know.
It's not like we're not used to it.
Amen. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Are there enough presents? Well, Trump has done this. He has instituted the way of execution now. You can use three or four different ways to do that. You can hang him, you can shoot him, you can execute him electrically, or you can shoot him full of dope, whatever. You know, go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many people know that President Trump gave a really important message. I think it's on the 22nd. None of the networks carried it. Not a single network carried it on network TV. It was censored, the whole thing. It's out there. You can find it. Some people have hidden it in YouTube videos because, you know, YouTube didn't want it up there, but it's out there on video. I read today that yesterday morning, 25 million people had sought out that video. And it's about the election and about interference, you know, from foreign countries and things like this. It was an excellent message. Both Marilyn and I listened to it. Mm-hmm. It was very, very good. It lays out everything, including the politicians and others who have accepted money from China to do things that China wants. It was very to the point, and it laid a groundwork for future action. So anyway, not sure if you hadn't seen it.
Was that 4 or 5 days ago that he did that?
I think it was 22nd. Just a little bit less than 10-minute message. It was excellent. It was really, really good. And
I'll look it up.
I saw that too.
Yeah, and it's amazing that the mainstream media has gone so far. Is they picked on it for you know over 4 years. Even when he's a candidate, they were picking on it. But now they're censoring him. You can watch. You know, Twitter will probably eliminate his account. You know, I wouldn't doubt that a bit here very shortly. That's one of the signs of things really getting, you know, getting kind of spicy. But anyway, that's why we pray for him every day. And I was really encouraged to hear what Missy had to say about that. And Marilyn's had a dream about President Trump. And, you know, the Lord told me to enter into the rest over all this. But it does look like, you know, everything, it's the world against President Trump, not just the Democrats or things like that. It's the entire world because it's that whole beast system, you know, that we call the deep state. But anyway, Lord's got this all under control.
Amen. He sure does. And I wouldn't doubt that he wouldn't. The Red Sea is rising. And when the Red Sea is rising, the enemy's better look out. Because the Egyptian army is fixing to go under. Is that a hand up there? Yeah, it is. Okay, go ahead, Judy.
Yeah, I saw something. This just made me think about it. I saw something on YouTube about I think it was a day or two ago when Trump went on a helicopter, the Marine One helicopter, and this guy had a video of him walking there. There was a small group of people. He was walking to it and he got on in the front part of the Marine One helicopter. And then there was a couple that were, there's two entrances to the helicopter, one in the front and one towards the back. And there was this couple walking. And as this couple was walking, you couldn't see the face, but you could hear the crowds saying, John, 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 you know, as this couple walking to get into the Marine One helicopter. And this guy that got this whole thing, he says, I believe that was John JFK Jr. with his wife. The guy, he was tall, you know, they both were kind of tall, like they are, you know, from the back, and they're both slender. And from what I can tell, the guy had grayish hair, you know, with a little bit of white, and the woman had blondish hair. So in the back, it looked like it could have been them from the back. But we'll find out.
Yeah, there's some speculation out there that JFK Jr., they staged that whole deal. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. I don't know. I'd like to think that. I'd like to think that they're alive. John. How many of you remember seeing John playing around his dad's desk when he was president?
Just the photo.
Oh, I've seen it. I remember seeing it. They'd have it on the news.
I was too little.
Yeah, I was too, but I remember seeing it. I was 10 years old when Kennedy was assassinated. Go ahead, Missy.
Somebody that knows about this speech that Barry was talking about, you, Barry, or somebody, I know, Julie, you said you watched it. Can you put it in the chat? Can you put the link
in the chat? I was trying to find it. So I don't know if you have it, Barry. I was just trying to look where I was looking before.
I was wrong. I wasn't 10 years old. I was in the 10th grade. That was in 1963. Okay. Anyone else? Are y'all fishing out there, Theo, in that picture? Y'all fishing?
Yeah, that's the three Theos. Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Petra, did you have a good time with Dirk and Paula?
Hi, everybody. Yes, we had an absolutely lovely time. And I was listening to you telling everybody about the snow. And I just Googled that we were in the temperature of 100 degrees Fahrenheit while you were waddling in the snow.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And I like William's description of like a Mexican desert. It is very similar to that. I had a... yeah, it's very close to that. I actually, me and Paula liken it to Israel being very, this deserty stone with these rising mountains turning into the bluish, into the background, and this little green oasis, little town there. Yeah, it was, and I've got verses for them, scripture for them on their move there that said that they're going to be double blessed there. And just in the 2 days that we were there, yeah, they were truly blessed. There was a person there that she knew through a dad, a cousin actually of her dad, put them in
contact. Uh-oh, you're cutting out.
With this guy, and he pulled in, and I don't know, again, am I back or not?
Amen.
Sorry, can you hear me again now or not? Anyway, yeah, so it was really good. Okay, so they were really blessed, and this guy is helping them to find a place. And the Lord showed them to leave all their stuff, their worldly, as Missy said, just to go without any of their household stuff. And this guy's helping them to find a house that is furnished. So within 2 days, they haven't got it yet, but yeah, they truly blessed there. So yeah, it was a lovely visit and very nice to be with brethren and people that you can talk the word with all the time. You don't need to talk carnal things. You can just discuss all the wonderful things that we like to discuss. It was really a blessing. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, cool. That's cool. Thank you, Lord. How was the lazy lizard?
Actually, really, really hot. It felt like the sun was scorching us underneath the umbrella that we were sitting. But that apple crumble pie was lovely. And the ice cream with it, even better. Yeah, it was really nice. Yeah.
That's awesome. I just love the way y'all talk. Oh, it was absolutely lovely. That is so cool.
Yeah, come on. I'll pluck your Afrikaans. Ek wil my eerder Afrikaans praat as jy met my so praat.
Okay. Awesome. Well, you know, that's where the Arkansas language came from, is English. Oh, I think it was all right. All of them other boys that came over here. Mostly Irish and Scottish people, the little ones.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm glad y'all had a good time. That's awesome. That was a long trip, wasn't it?
For me, it was. I actually, if you want to, guys, I'd love to share with you. Let me just see if I can do that. I've shared some stuff with Michael on video, but on an email. But I wanted to show you guys. Let me just see if I can. How do you share your screen? You remember Paula told you guys that this little town is in the Karoo, which is the desert side with this huge mountain range that divides it from the coastal area where it's really nice and green. So, raise, disconnect, cancel. Where do you get share screen? I'm sure I had that. I'll find it. I'll show it later to you guys. I don't want to waste your time. Share screen, I've got it. Let me find it. Screen. Now, photos. Let's go there. I don't know if you guys can see. No. You know what? Just stop me. I'm
go ahead.
I'm not doing... Let me find it, and then I'll raise my hand and show you guys again. So just let me find it without being on the spot.
Patrick's okay. Button over there.
Greg's?
Over there.
Over there. Where's yeah. The screen? Okay, photos, iCloud, Dropbox, Microsoft, bookmarks, cancel. I want to share my screen, my photos. There we go.
Yeah, ooh, share screen.
To, yes, okay, there we go. And let's go. Where's my video? Let's take that one. No. Can you guys see all my photographs here now? That's really funny. Done one. Okay, stop sharing. Let's go. No.
There it is. Yeah.
It's yeah. Up there. Okay. I actually would like to show a video that I drove over the mountains to get there. I'm going to do this. Stop sharing. Oh, my God.
You're doing photos. Fine.
You just... good again. It shares the photos, but not my videos. I took a very nice video driving. Yeah, this is just the mountain range going up and down. Look at this beautiful... I don't know if you guys can see this full rock formation here.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Anyway, so he doesn't want to awesome. Share my video at the moment, so I can't find that now. Yeah, it was lovely. We'll show you in time because I'm sure the Lord is going to bring us all there with William's problems of not having amen. The refuge at his amen. Farm anymore being down there. So, yeah, it was a lovely, lovely time. And thank you for allowing me to share that with you all.
Okay. Awesome. That looks like some very tough terrain there.
It is. It really is. Paul Hall is back there now. They went to their dad to spray his, to have his ashes into the sea. And so they're back now at... just tell me, is my screen still on there? I don't know how to stop it now.
No, it's okay.
But is my screen still on there? Just tell me that I'm.
No, it. You're fine. You're fine.
Okay, good. It's yeah, so Paul. Up. Okay. Paul Lala is back there now. It's still Sunday till Monday. And we can just maybe pray for them that in this next few days that they do get a place and that they can move there quickly. Dirk really felt that the Lord has put it on his heart that this move must be as soon as possible. And yeah, I just feel pressed on my heart as well that things in South Africa is coming to a point as well that there's a lot of pressure with the news. I just look at the headlines. I don't go through the content of the articles, but things are also picking up, going into a second lockdown, which may be a national lockdown. And if they can move before that, otherwise they're going to be stuck up in where they are now, then they won't be able to move soon. So if we can maybe just pray for them for the favor to come through for the next couple of days that they can go back to their house, travel safe back and have a place to move down like in the next few weeks, that would be lovely.
Amen. But Father, we do. We just pray that everything would transition just right for Dirk and Paula, that you would have everything opened up and every door open in favor with the officials and whatever has to be done, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Well, I believe it. I believe we're going to have a good move. Well, we're out of time again. We did make it through tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I just love every one of them. And I praise you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in us. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to put people where you want them. in the next days, in the days ahead, that you're going to have everybody situated by the time that this thing breaks through. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that we know that wherever we are, we're under your Psalms 91 protection and provisions. And we just praise you, Father, for whatever you're doing in each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, give us all a good night's sleep tonight. You promised that in Psalms, I believe it's 27 or 127. And Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, I ask, Lord, that you protect my brothers and sisters in South Africa and in Australia and in Tasmania and all around the world, Lord. And I ask that you protect my brothers and sisters in the U.S. It's just as dangerous here. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we thank you for that big soaking rain out there in California that's going to put that fire out at Camp Pendleton Marine Base in Jesus' name. And it's not going to go any further south or north or east or west. It is stopped right there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Y'all be blessed. You hear?